The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, Q&A, yeah.
Okay, so I know we've talked about how the essence of tefillah, right, is that it's hitpal, right, that it's reflective on you, that
yeah.
through going through this process, you gain certain insights on yourself and the way in which you're supposed to be aligning yourself with God's desires as well. Right, and that through that, then you come out of the process changed, right, and that's really then merits you to have a different hashgacha or all the different things. So the question is, so within right the Amida, right? So you need to have Kavanah on the first paragraph, right?
Right.
And if you don't have Kavanah on the first paragraph, then everything is supposedly worthless, right?
Right.
But if you get like a very impactful insight after having no Kavanah in the first bracha,
yeah.
How should that be possible if you're saying that this thing is ma'akev?
Yeah.
Right. And if you're saying that it's just about the insights, right, and that thing is ma'akev, then the insights don't have
it. Okay. Yeah.
How does that relationship work?
Okay. So that's a good question. So I'm going to actually, sidestep the question to answer the question. Okay. Which is to not answer about that particular thing, but to answer a bigger question, which will, I think, answer what you're really asking. Did you guys do the Reb Chaim? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that's the other thing also. I'm wary about, you know, I know there's the way that Stam people learn the Reb Chaim. About like Kavana being Ma'akev in the first bracha versus the requirement of Kavana in the entire Shemona Esrei. But since it's like freshly learned by you,
freshly learned.
Okay, yeah, no, but it's definitely more fresh than my learning of it.
And I don't know. It's the first requirement.
I think so. Yeah.
Rabbi Zimmer said multiple times during that Reb Chaim, before we even started.
Everyone thinks,
like, He's like, yeah. Everybody thinks that they remember it, and then they learn it again. They're like, what?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's another reason I don't want to answer that question. So the version, tell me if this is adequate for a stand-in for your question, is you did a tefillah, and you had so much Kavanah, and then you realized that, it was Rosh Chodesh, and I forgot to say Yalev Yavo, right? So is my whole tefillah worthless, right? So is that...
Yeah, I would say
it. Okay, yeah. All right. I think the answer to that lies in the fact, and I don't know if this is 2 points or 1 point, but you have to remember what tefillah d'oraisa is, according to the Rambam, which we will review. Not from Mikros Gedolos, from Sefer Ahava Hilchos Tefillah Birkas Konim. First halacha. So he will mitzvah say he's palabah whole yom. So mitzvah say to self reflect every day. Shneimar, as it says, avadatem es Hashem elokechem. You should serve Hashem your God. Mipiyushmul amru avoda zo hi tefila. From the Torah Peh, they said that this avoda is tefila. Neimar ulovdo b'chol levavchem. You should serve him with all your heart. Amru chachamim. The sages said. Ezohi avoda shebelev. What is avoda shebelev? Zot tefila. That is tefila. Bein minyan tefilas min haTorah. V'lo mishnah tefilas zos min haTorah. Bein letefilas man kavua min haTorah. The number of tefilas per day is not from the Torah. The text mishnah here means text, literally teaching, or I think it means in the sense of teaching of tefila is not from the Torah. Bein letefilas man kavua min haTorah. And there's no set time for tefila from the Torah. Lefikach nashim v'avanim chayavim betefila. That's why women and servants are chayav in tefila. Lefi shehi mitzvah to say shelo asman grama, because it's not a time bound mitzvah. Ella chiyu mitzvah zot kafu. Rather, the obligation of this mitzvah is such shehi adam mispala umischanin b'chol yom, that a person should self-reflect and supplicate every day, and recount the praises of God, and he should ask for the needs that he needs, with requesting and supplication, and then he should give praise and thanks to Hashem on the good that God bestowed to him, each one according to his capacity. Then the Rambam goes on and describes and talks about why they made an institution of tefillah of several times per day and the nusach and such because of the languages and everything. So this is my understanding, and I don't know. I'll give you two options here. I think when you daven a Shemona Esrei that has a halachic requirement, whether it's having kavana of perish amilos in the first bracha, or whether it's saying yalev yavo or mashi for rokh made geshem or atal, like that whole thing, and it's ma'akev and you're not yote, I think one, it's reasonable to say on a d'oraisa level, you did do tefillah, okay? Because that essentially that's what tefillah is, okay? However, midirabbanan, you're not yotzei, okay? And the rabbanan have the right to come up with specific forms of how you do the d'oraisa, and midirabbanan, you're obligated to do it again, okay? I think it'd be a big stretch to say that you're not yotzei d'oraisa because you did shavak bakasha and hoda'a, all right? And all of the benefits of tefillah, that you were just talking about, like the self-reflection and stuff, is still coming. They're still coming about. Okay. And the other possibility, is we know that there are certain areas where the Rabbanan give a form to the mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay. Like that there is a certain d'oraisa and then the Rabbanan limit it. And you're no longer free to fulfill the d'oraisa in those, the forms that are outside of that. I don't know enough about that. So you have to say like, you know, let's say like the classic example is like Malach on Kol HaMoed, you know, like, and I don't even know if that's a good example of this, but like, you know, that there's a Shita that like the you know, whatever the Rabbanan, were given the total rights to like formulate that. This also gets into issues of what Torah Shval Peh is, and do the Rabbanan have the authority to like change the forms of the Doraisa? I don't know what the whole thing is, but like, you could also say that, that maybe you're not halachically yote, but it's a big stretch to say that you did not do an act of avodah shebaleiv, you know? So whether you're like halachically yote the doraisa, or whether you're just like philosophically, like in terms of acts of perfection, I think you are, you know, you did get that act of perfection, or maybe you're even yote the doraisa. Another angle, which is the same, similar answer, is on the one hand, this is, tefillah is an activity of perfection. On the other hand, it's avoda. And one of the things about avoda is avoda has to have specific forms. For example, when Nadav and Avihu brought the Esh Zara Asher Lo Tziva Osam, you know, that God didn't command them, there's a machlokus about like, you know, what their intent was or whatever. Some mafarshim really hold that like the action, like whatever perfection and reasons they had, it was valid, but since it wasn't sanctioned, you know, the key element is lo tziva osam, and we don't have the right to engage in avoda without a matir, and the matir is the halachic system. So like you gained a lot of perfection from the thing, but if you don't, like, let's, here's a good example. If I say a bracha levatala, right? And I have great kavana, and I like it really like gives me like insight and stuff. I am being perfected by the act, but I didn't have a matir to engage in Shavach Hashem. And you need a matir to engage in Shavach Hashem because the act of Shavach is an act of blasphemy unless you have, you know, all those ideas. So like it doesn't have to be one or the other. And I think that that's like, to me, that's the best way to view this is I had a really good tefillah in the sense that I got really key insights, but I didn't meet these halakha criteria. So I am not at best, I am not fulfilling the Dirabanan. At worst, I'm like engaging in an unsanctioned act of tefillah, and there's imperfections from engaging in unsanctioned tefillah, you know?
And that would be a problem.
Yeah.
To reflect on that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But also, yeah. Like, not all perfection comes from tefillah either. I mean, you can consider have good ideas like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon if it's different, even if you're not having.
Right.
So just because you had a good idea in this, improperly, you know, this not halachic tefillah doesn't mean that it must have been a tefillah.
Yeah, and I'll give you a riot to that also is in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when he goes into, I don't know, it bothers me why he doesn't bring this down in the Mishnah Torah explicitly. Is this my computer being slow? The internet being slow? It looks like the internet is a little slow. Well, I'll just say it. Which is in Sefer HaMitzvos Mitzvah number 5. When he goes into Avodah Shebaleiv, he says, Ula Avdo Zot Tfila, the Amru Ula Avdo Zot Talmud. So Talmud Torah is also Avodah Shebaleiv. Okay, which is interesting that if you, you know, if you engage in self-reflection, you know, in a Torah framework and it's not Tfila, like it is a form of Talmud Torah also. Like you are engaging in a certain like pursuit of knowledge, of self-knowledge, you know? So like you're also, so it is like a Buddhist belief through a different channel, you know? Yeah. Okay, good question. Yeah, Isaac.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
So I was listening to the Ram Bakish.
Yeah. Yes.
So some Ram Bakish from last year.
Yeah.
And You're talking about the getting the Kesser Shel Torah.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that the Rambam talks about is talking about Chochal.
Yeah.
Which he said was, if necessary, you'd be, willing to eat just bread and salt and the fact that he describes, they're not just maybe you could express this better than I am. But my question is, this seems like the type of thing that maybe only for in this situation you could actually know if you are on that level or not. So I was wondering if there's any way a person could, see if they're not on that level, without having to actually be destitute.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not on a level to work on it.
Okay, so let me make sure I get your question. So you're saying that in the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, chapter 3, he talks about how to get the Kesser Shel Torah, which is the highest level of Torah, the Torah achievement award. No, it's not an award. Otherwise, it's not Lishma. He says that Rambam says, Misha nasa'o libo l'kayim mitzvah zo k'roi la. Someone who takes it upon himself or sets his heart on to fulfilling this mitzvah properly, as is proper befitting for it, v'lios muchtar b'kisra shel Torah, and he wants to be crowned with the crown of Torah. Lo yaseich da'ato l'dvar mechem. He shouldn't distract his mind with other things. Lo yasim alibu l'shiyekne Torah im ha'osher v'akavod ke'achad. He should not set his goal to acquire Torah with wealth and kavod together. Kachu darka shel Torah. Such is the way of Torah. Pas b'melech tochal. Bread with salt you shall eat. Unless you're on keto and eat bread with salt with wraps. V'ha'ars tishan, sleep on the floor. V'chayet sar tichya, and live a life of suffering. Uva Torah tiye alma, and you should toil in Torah. V'lo alacha hamalacha ligmor v'lo ata ben chorin lebatal. The work is not upon you to complete, nor are you free to abstain. V'al im hirbisa Torah, hirbisa sachar, v'sachar l'fiyatzar. If you have accumulated Torah, you've accumulated reward, and the reward is in proportion to the suffering. We learned it last year. It's not that you dafka have to sleep on the floor and eat bread with salt. It means that you must be willing to learn Torah even under such conditions. Like if a person says, I can't learn today because I didn't get to eat what I wanted, or like I had a bad sleep or whatever, and therefore I'm not going to learn. He might fulfill the mitzvah, but he's not going to get the Kesser Shel Torah. Like you have to be willing to do this. So your question is seemingly the person never knows how they're going to react in adverse circumstances until they're actually there, right? So is there a way that you can work on this thing when you're not in those circumstances, like work on this avenue of getting the Kesher Shel Torah? Yeah. So I would say that in the same way that you can definitely artificially put yourself in situations where you are experiencing obstacles to your Torah of this nature, in order to gain self-knowledge and then be able to test yourself, in this manner. The only downside is it has that tinge of gadam suva v'osa mimisha inam suva v'osa, that since you're doing it voluntarily, it doesn't have the same crushing weight of like, I'm a victim and I'm in, I'm forced to be in these circumstances, but as an example, I associate this with the old YBT building. Then the old YBT building, it was a blessed memory. It was not a nice place to live. It was a very not nice place to live. And I was raised in thinking that I needed to depend on a certain level of physical comfort in order to have yishuv adas, and being thrust into that environment. And I knew that it was going to be like that. I didn't know experientially, but I knew intellectually, as Rabbi Fox said when I was considering going to YBD, it's not the Taj Mahal, I knew it was going to be a step down in that way. And I put myself in that situation and then found out that I didn't need that, So you can simulate these things, but can you actually know? I don't think you can actually know.
unless you're in those situations, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like an in-between answer. Like you can simulate it and gain self-knowledge and do experiments and all that other stuff. And you can also frame stuff as experiments, you know, like let's say hypothetically, totally hypothetically, let's say you suffer from insomnia, you know, and like, but what you do is you say, I'm not making excuses. I'm going to come and I'm going to teach every day, you know, and I'm not going to interrupt my Tomatora schedule at all. I'm not going to make excuses. Then, you know, then like it puts you to the test and makes you see like, can I do it? You know? So like, that's not me putting myself in the situation. It is taking something that might not be framed in the framework of this halacha and then putting it in the framework of this halacha to realize that I'm cultivating my Darko Shel Torah, my Kesher Shel Torah pursuit, you know? Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I got. Yeah.
I want to toss another factor into the mix.
Sure.
What we've been saying in Ram Makias about Dematsura Matur Yatsura and like having psychological needs based on the standards that you used to. Like how does that, like if a person solves psychological needs based on the standards that they're used to, should a person that sounds like maybe that a person should get themselves used to.
Yeah. So that's the thing also is like a common error among Talmid Chachamim is there's two common errors. One is giving into your psyche. The other is neglecting your psyche, you know, there are people who will try to wean themselves off of things that they actually psychologically do need. And then that will make them suffer in their learning, right? Like I don't actually need, you know, 6 or 7 hours of sleep, I can function on 5, you know, and they convince themselves of that and then ends up harming their learning, you know, or weaning themselves off of lo lishmas, right? Where like, you know, you sense that you are like wanting to be like the top guy in shir. And then you tell yourself, oh, that's an emotion. Like I shouldn't try to do that. And then you like don't participate in shir. And then that ends up harming your learning, you know? So there is a, or it's just a quantitative thing. Like you push yourself too far. You know, like maybe you can give up on some of these comforts, but then you push yourself too far and then that ends up harming you. So again, it's a balancing act. You know, also sometimes it's an imperfection masquerading as perfection. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos chapter 3, when he says that, when he talks about like people who are ascetic, right? Shema yomar adam hoyil v'hataiva v'kavav v'kiyot v'han derech ra v'mosin esanam min ha'olam efrof man b'yosef esrachil v'tata achron. So I'm going to distance myself from all pleasures and kavod, you know. And he tells himself, I'm doing this for the Kesher Shel Torah. You know, I even heard of an extreme case. I saw this in the news a couple of years ago that there was a kid in yeshiva who like was engaging in all these like ascetic practices. And he died of an eating disorder, you know, like it was really an eating disorder. Like it was anorexia, masquerading as paspa melech tochal, you know, and he was sleep depriving himself and like, and then he, you know, it developed, that led to like depression. And then that led to a bunch of other stuff. And then he ended up dying, you know, I don't know, like under what particular circumstances, but so you got to be careful with these things also. Yeah. Look, I think this is my advice is, you know, very few people I have met in my life, in yeshiva guys really are like, I know the Rambam says that the Kesher Shel Torah is like waiting for everyone, you know, and anyone can get it. I think there are many people who would benefit from just trying to get Torah before you try the Kesher Shel Torah, you know, like in my days, like I think of the people like the Yaakov Trachmans of the world, you know, like that's a guy who can get the Kesher Shel Torah, you know, like he just does not have the same psychological needs as other people do. He doesn't have the same, like, you know, for that person, like, okay, go for it, you know, but for most of us, you know, due to our upbringing, due to the Gullahs, to whatever, just focus. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Just try to get Torah. Okay. And if you get Torah, you're increasing the odds for getting the crown. Okay. But like, don't worry about it. Not everyone can be king, you know? Yeah.
Also, getting Torah helps you along the path of like, you know, like figuring out what the pitfalls would be if you tried to.
Yes. That's also true. Right. Yeah. Makes you better at assessing the path of the Kesher Shel Torah. Yeah. Okay. Another question?
Oh, I'm burning the window.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Yeah. Yeah. We'll put the question for posterity, right? Oh, actually, you know, this is actually an interesting thing. Okay. So do you mind if I say the case?
Sure.
Sure. Okay, so the case was a bird hit the window, okay, at 1:25 p.m.-ish, maybe 1:20, right? Yeah. And I have a BQ's mini shear from 1:30 to 1:45, and Chaim starts his head in and says, a bird hit the window, and I'm going to go tend to it, so I might miss shear. Right. And so I said, okay, thanks for letting me know. But inside, I was wondering, like, you know, do you skip shear to attend to a bird that is injured? Okay. So I posed this question on one of the Facebook forums that I'm in, and it caused tremendous debate. And the way I framed the question was, I gave the case and I said, are there any halachic or non-halachic sources that would inform the decision about whether my student should have gone to this shear and then attended to the animal, or gone to animal and then attended to the shear, you know? So it raised many questions of, you know, when, you know, there's principles of prioritizing mitzvos in general, right? Of like, you know, if it's a, you know, whatever mitzvah comes into your hand, like that is the first thing that you should do. But then there's also Talmud Torah, you know, Kenegad Kulam, and like you don't interrupt Talmud Torah for this, and then Bitul Torah, and then is Tzar L'Bali Chaim even a mitzvah, or is it just a value? You know, and then there are people who are like accusing me of like warping the whole halachic system by even asking if this should be a halachic question, you know. And then I brought in the Avraham ben Rambam paradigm of the Derech Ha'am and the Derech Ha'Yachid. Derech Am being halacha and the Derech HaYachid being going beyond halacha to live in line with Torah values. And even if halacha doesn't demand something, then there are still ways to utilize Torah values to make these decisions, even if there's no, it's not within the purview of halacha. And then I had people accusing me of completely misunderstanding Avraham ben Rambam and projecting my own ideas. You know, it was a very, very lively debate. And then people quoting Chuvos of the Chashuke Chemed, who I'd never heard of before, who was asked about one of his talmidim would, on his way to the Beis Midrash, would stop to feed the stray cats, and then like was that right, you know? And then I was thinking Ashrei and like, you know, Rachmav al Kol Masav, and like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi telling his wife to not sweep up the little weasels, right? You know, all the best of God has used weasels, yeah. And you know, so like it was a very good question, but I think what I realized in the when I had people claiming this is why I'm not Orthodox, you know, like I was like, you know, like to even ask such a question of should you like leave a pained animal like in order to to learn Torah, like that's a cruel question, and this is what's wrong with all of Orthodoxy. You know, it was a whole big hubbub, you know. But that itself, like, yeah, no, that itself made me realize it was one of those like great moments in keeping Torah, that there is nothing that is not, that Torah has nothing, that the Torah is silent on. There's no case in life that the Torah is silent on, whether it's halacha or agada or a debate about halacha or agada. Like, you know, it is, you know, everything draws in the entire system, you know, to like say, what is the system going to say about this? So I thought it was a great, like, natural question that came up, you know? Yeah.
In my defense.
Yes.
I'm also working on specific midos right now too.
Yeah.
So like specifically the mito, I was talking about Zimmer about this Sunday night, specifically the mito of like being able to basically like Talmud Gadol.
Talmud Gadol.
I'm working on Meisim and like Chesed as well, yeah, and like that kind of
thing. Yeah, that's good.
And like Rabbi Zimmer was saying that, because like let's say for example, like my sister wants to go out for dinner or something, yeah, like that, and I really don't want to go because I want to learn, I want to shear, right? Like Wednesday night, sister wanted me to go.
Yeah.
And I think it was last Wednesday.
Okay, I was just saying, because you didn't miss anything this Wednesday. Yeah.
I didn't miss anything last Wednesday either, because it ended up not working out. Well, it was just wanted to go.
No, I was saying because I didn't give the idea this year. Yeah.
And I was like, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But then I thought back to what I've been talking about with our Zimmer a couple of times, where he said, one thing he told me that was like really good advice at the end of the year last year was don't, if you want to, is that the worst thing you can do for the truth is be a jerk because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, if I just like say to myself and say to other people, like, I'd love to join you for dinner, but I want to learn, I want to learn more. And,
right.
You know, and even if I try to like, you know, show them that I care, it ends up coming across as like, I just don't care about them, which ends up basically distorting, it seems to distort, it distorts like my view of like the halakhic system in a sense. but also distorts their view of
right.
me as a halakhic person
right.
and the halakhic system.
Yeah, that is the halakhic kiddush hashem, right? Is yeah. that even if you're doing this as a mutter, if it's going to cause people to grumble or have a bad impression of Torah, then kiddush hashem dictates that you you take that into account, and that is all according to your esteem as a chacham in the eyes of whoever you're dealing with. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
That was part of my way in. Also, I was like,
yeah, yeah. And in truth, we don't have an answer yet. But you'll tell me if you ask Rav Pesach. Yeah. So it's a good question though. Okay, stop for today. Yeah. Thanks for coming. I was going to.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.